I'd like to begin by talking a little bit about the background of that first reading from Zechariah. And I'm probably going to be stumbling over his name because I always want to say Zephaniah. And that's the next prophet in the Bible. But it's Zechariah. Zechariah is not a very long reading. You can read it in one sitting, and I'd kind of suggest you might want to do that because it has some prophecies in it that are very well known to us. Zechariah is writing around the year 520 BC. Now, that was a particularly difficult time in Jewish history. The exile in Babylon was over, and the people were beginning to straggle back into Jerusalem. But what they encountered when they got there was anything but uplifting. They encountered a city that was in rubble, that had been basically torn to the ground. The temple that they had loved, and the temple that Solomon had built and was so beautiful, it lay in ruins. One commentator on the Bible said to understand that emotional impact, if you were one who knew St. Peter's at the Vatican and you loved the beauty of that place, but you also knew Washington, D.C. and those wonderful monuments like the Lincoln Monument and the Washington Monument and the Capitol Building, and if you knew and loved those places and then years later came back and they were all destroyed, everything lay in rubble, that would be something of the emotional impact that those people of Jerusalem were facing. That place that had been loved by their forefathers was ruined. It was destroyed. There was nothing left. And they come back to that. And so Zechariah is trying to write to give them hope, help them to understand that their faith still had meaning and purpose, that their God had not abandoned them. And his prophecies are about a future when God will restore this destroyed city, this destroyed kingdom, and it would make it again a place where God would be very present. He wanted them to know that, yes, they had been punished. They had been punished for their sins and their unfaithfulness. But now God is reaching out in mercy and compassion. One of those prophecies that we know so well that comes from Zechariah is the one we encounter on Palm Sunday, that your Savior will come to you riding on an ass. That's part of his prophecy. But he talks about how the nations would come to Jerusalem and all people would find meaning and hope there. And then after he's told us all that, we get today's reading. It says, "And they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they shall grieve over him as one grieves for a firstborn. On that day the mourning in Jerusalem shall be great." You know, he had prophesied about this Savior that was to come. And then he gives us this. He will be pierced through. He will be killed. Well, we know. We know what he's referring to. We know that he is referring to Christ Jesus the Savior, who is carrying out and fulfilling that great prophecy of Zechariah. But the interesting thing is that this prophecy is fulfilled not in a moment of glory, not in a moment of triumph, but in a moment when to all the eyes around, it looked like disaster. It looked like defeat. It looked like, again, God had abandoned his people. The very Savior he has sent dies on a cross, dies as a criminal. And then he is raised up. Not raised up to build a worldly kingdom, but raised up to gather people to himself through the waters of baptism. Raised up to transform them into himself through the bread and the cup of the Eucharist. Raised up to gather us into a heavenly kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom of light, a kingdom of truth. That teaches us so much. So often, we look at things with very worldly eyes, and all we see is suffering and defeat. When we want to see victory and glory, we live right now in a time in the church that we're going through some difficult times, very difficult times. You know, we've lived through the sex scandals of the last 15 years. And we've been humbled very much by that. We live through a time when many people are just walking away from the Catholic Church. And that is painful for so many. We live in a time when we are made fun of in the media. We're denounced by politicians. And yet, you and I have to hold faith that it is in this humbling, it is in this time when it doesn't look like glory or victory, that the Lord can manifest his glory. We don't know when, we don't know how. But if we look at our past, we know that God has not abandoned us. No more than he abandoned those ancient people who came back to Jerusalem. But he is there. And in ways we don't know, ways we cannot understand, ways we can't predict, he will still be there, bringing about the growth of his kingdom, bringing about that day when we'll be gathered into the kingdom of our Father. And what is true of the church in general is true of our lives as individuals. You know, we also want glory. We want victory. We want to be able to appear great in front of everyone. But so often the word Lord works in our lives through failure, through defeat, through humility, through shame. Precisely at those times that we may feel we've been abandoned by God, God is the most present in our lives. And if we can be open to him, he can be teaching us, guiding us, leading us to the very virtues, the very qualities that will open us up to life in his kingdom. We are challenged to see things not with the eyes of the world, but with the eyes of faith. The eyes that know that our God is a faithful God. The eyes that know our God works not in the way humans work, but he works in his own way. And he works so often in ways that the world sees as failure, as disaster. But with faith, we know that God is with us.